I think that this is probably the best time to be a DE chiropractor in probably the history of this movement. And the reason it's the best time is because, as Sid says, like a kite, you need the resistance of a wind in order to soar. And we are in a time now where we are being confronted with resistance, which we have to look at as being a fantastic advantage. You see, when everything goes good, as it did in the 70s and the 80s, when there was an enormous amount of money to be made because of third-party providers, nobody was mad at us because there was enough money. But now, when the so-called health dollar has shrunk, now all of a sudden there is competitiveness. And the result of the competitiveness is that those people who are in power, the orthodox, are flexing their muscle to try to make sure that they get their share at the expense of everyone else if they possibly can. And as a result of that, they've contacted those people that they perceive can do the greatest harm to us, the media, for example. And we run into stuff like 2020. We run into stuff like the research project, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, done by the New England Journal, or reported by the New England Journal. See, what they're attempting to do is anything they possibly can do to ridicule what we do. I think that's great. You see, I tell you this now, the Super Bowl is going to be played on Sunday, right? I think. Now, you want to really tee off the other team, what you do is you make some disparaging remark about them, right? Either their defense stinks or this guy is bad or and immediately what does the other team do? They take the article in the newspaper and they put it up on their bulletin board, because what does it do to the players on the opposite team now, right? Okay? You got a little wind blowing now, the kite starts to go up. And what it's going to do for us is it's going to force us, those of us who wish to survive, those of us who aren't walking around with a self-destructive urge, it's going to force those of us who wish to survive to become chiropractors again. Now, what we've spent a lot of time being is about everything else other than the chiropractor. You can choose any letter of the alphabet you want, and somebody's out there practicing something that starts with it. And the reason was very simple, is the more things that you had letters of the alphabet for, the more money you could make, because you could charge for everything. The hell with what you did to the profession. You know, give me mine and give me as much of mine as I can grab. But that is changing. Now, you know how I know that's changing? It's very simple. I look out here and I see more people. And I see people I haven't seen for a long time, which means people are coming home. Now you come home because in your heart you know that's where the principle is. And when you're ready to give up, the smoke and mirrors, and become solid and locked in again into the principle, you come home. And I welcome everybody who comes home. But we're going to be chiropractors again. And we're going to stand up for what we believe. And better than that, we're going to profess what we believe. See, we belong to a profession. And when you belong to a profession, what that literally means is that you profess something. That you stand for something. That you believe something is true enough for you to dedicate your life to it. That's what a profession is. And in the olden days, professions were separated from everything else in life because those people were considered to be the dedicated people because they now chose to give up their life, to dedicate their life to something that they believed in. And that's where we are. We are in a profession, which means if you wish to be in the profession of chiropractic, then you must accept what the profession of chiropractic professes. And what the profession of chiropractic professes is excruciatingly simple. What we say is this, that there is a universal intelligence that governs the entire cosmos. The laws of this universal intelligence hold the universe together. And since man is a part of this universal intelligence, he is part of the universe, he also expresses universal intelligence, but in man, it is called innate or inborn intelligence. This inborn intelligence now takes the atoms that create this form and organize it and allow it to survive in the environment in which I am in. And as long as that innate intelligence is able to permeate every single cell of my body, every molecule that makes up that cell and every atom that makes up that molecule, I function successfully on a physical, emotional, and spiritual stage here. We also state that if that expression of innate intelligence is interfered with, that then man as an entity on a physical, emotional, and spiritual state will start to be unable to function in the environment in which he is. And that non-functioning of the environment, that non-functioning of man in that environment is what the orthodoxy calls disease and what we call subluxation. We also state that with the use of our two hands, we can remove this interference, thus restoring the flow of innate intelligence to every cell, molecule that makes up that cell, and atom that makes up that molecule, again allowing the physiological changes necessary in that body to take place that will again allow man to function in the environment. That is what we profess. That has nothing to do with backaches and neck aches and strains, which are ailments which only reflect the possibility that there may be a subluxation in that individual. These are signs that may suggest a subluxation. They are not what we take care of. What we take care of is the subluxation that is interfering with the expression of innate in that individual. There is no one else in the world that does that thing. We are unique in that. That gift was given to us. That information, that concept, that spiritual idea was implanted in the head of a magnetic healer over 100 years ago. And from that one mind, every person in this room is sitting here. Only because he professed it. What happens if we don't profess it? New York Times, 2 days ago, front page about nurses in school. And the article reads, Ritalin, Ritalin, seizure drugs, Ritalin. So goes the rhythm of noontime for Mary Jo Kemper, nurse at the McDonnell McKay School in East Boston, as she trots her tray of brown plastic vials and paper water cups from class to class, dispensing pills into the outstretched young palm. With the number of children across the country taking Ritalin estimated at well over 3 million, more than double the 1990 figure, and other school day prescriptions for children on the rise, who should be giving out the pills? The article is about the fact that there are so many pills that are given out now that the nurses cannot do it by themselves, and they're trying to decide who is going to help the nurses to give out the medication. You know what that's the result of? Are not professing. Because if the mothers of those 3 million children were aware of what we know, that nurse might be giving out Band-Aids occasionally rather than 3 million doses of Ritalin daily. Now we have, in our own profession, vipers. People who profess. But what they profess is that we are limited practitioners whose scope of practice is the treatment of low back pain if it is not too serious and can be treated within 3 weeks. And there is no neurological complication. There are people who have, I will not call them chiropractors, they merely have chiropractic degrees and licenses, who profess this. And our enemies hold them out as examples of good little chiropractors who are behaving themselves. And they bring them to the media and the print. And they are quoted. And people think this is what chiropractic is. I don't know how, but they sent me a copy of the ACA Journal about a month ago. I really don't know why. And there was an article in there about chiropractic in the 21st century under an opinion column and whatever, and it was a column written by a chiropractor, and I'll just read you one paragraph from the thing because it'll just sum the whole thing up. And it says, the new millennium chiropractor, a forecast for the chiropractic profession commissioned by the Foundation for Chiropractic Education and Research, recommends that the profession enter the nutritional counseling and weight management market. Hey, it's a profession. They are professing something. They are professing that what you should do is be a nutritional consultant and you should enter the market for reducing waste. They at least profess. What journal do I pick up and read that there is a universal intelligence, there is an innate intelligence, and what chiropractors do is to remove subluxation to reunite the universal intelligence of that individual with universal intelligence? Show me what journal carries that. At least they profess. As much as this makes me sick, I have to at least admire that they do it. We have to make decisions here. We have to make two kinds of decisions. We have to make individual decisions, and then we have to make a unified decision. We have to decide whether or not we are going to be chiropractors and we are going to profess what we believe to the world, or we're not going to be chiropractors and we're not going to profess to build or we're going to go into the weight reduction business, is what it comes down to. That's what we have to decide. Because the people in your town are going to think of you in whatever way chiropractors educate them. Therefore, if the chiropractor that educates them is the chiropractor that holds this out as what chiropractic professes, then they're going to come to you for nutritional counseling and weight reduction, because that's what they're going to think that you do. If you, on the other hand, stand up and profess the truth that was given to us 100 years ago, that truth that took eons of time to arrive at just exactly the right moment, if that's what you profess, then that's what the people in your town are going to think chiropractic is. See, one of the enormous advantages that exists in Panama for us is the fact that basically there were no chiropractors there before. So the message they heard was what? Was our message. See, they don't think of us in terms of backaches. They don't think of us in terms of neck aches. They don't think of us in any of these terms. Because we told them in Spanish, very simple phrase, right? Point to the neck, we say, no Dios, no God. Rump, rump, Dios. It flows. So now when you meet a Panamanian in Panama on the street and he knows you're a chiropractor, he goes, but that's chiropractic then. And the advantage was, we got there first. Now, I don't know what's in your town. I don't know if you got there first. But if you didn't get there first, then you got to play catch-up. And playing catch-up means starting to tell the truth. And the way you start to tell the truth immediately is in your office. And when you do your orientations, and I got to tell you this, and I agree with this, you know, one thing that Tommy talked about it the other night, when we gave the orientation, and I remember Bobby too had the sign on his wall about the orientation. We gave it was an orientation. It was not a doctor's report. It was not a health report. It was a chiropractic orientation. We were going to teach you about chiropractic. There was no pretense that it was going to be anything else. This is what it was going to be. And if you wanted to be a patient in this office, you were going to be there to hear this thing. Because it was a requirement. Now, I got to tell you, I always assumed they were going to be there. I never in my mind assumed they were not going to come. As a result, I think in the 30-some years that I was in New Jersey alone, I don't think it was 5 people that said they weren't coming. And when I said they weren't coming, I shook their hands and told them that they could come back anytime they decided to come to the orientation. And it was friendly. I wasn't angry with them. Huh? Because if you don't tell them, if you don't tell them, how are they going to know? Well, I give them literature. Really? What kind of literature? They're going to get it from osmosis. How are they going to get it if you don't tell them? Now, every single patient you give an orientation to, they may get one-tenth of the orientation, but they got one-tenth. See? Now the thing is, when they go out and they refer patients to you, they start telling the patients what to expect when they come to your office. So the hard part is done. You've already started to establish what your practice is. You've already started to establish what you profess. So then the next group, so next time, and you tell that group now goes out. And that's what they tell. And then the next one goes out, and that's what they tell. The next one goes out, and that's what they tell. And before you know it, there is a underground message seeping through your community describing what you do. And they know you are different. They know you're not a medical doctor wannabe. Because they know what you profess. And I've said this last time I was here, I've said this every time, I'll tell you this again. Right? You write this on a whiteboard that's hanging up in your adjusting room or in your waiting room, and if you don't have one, get a piece of headrest paper and stretch it across the wall, and you write on there two things. The power that made the body heals the body, and then next to it you write, I move the bone and God does the healing, because that's going to separate you from the rest. I know in this room right now, tonight, there are people saying, I can't do that. That is not professional. Yes, it is, because you're professing. I want you to walk into any other office in your town, dentist, podiatrist, medical doctor, surgeon, oncologist, anything where it says God does the healing. Nobody else has got that. It makes you immediately different. It now takes you and gives you your turf. It gives you land to stand on. And the biggest surprise you're going to get is when you get in your orientation that you start talking about universal intelligence and you start talking about innate intelligence and you start talking about the fact that you move the bone and God does the healing. At the end of your orientation, three or four of the new patients will come up to you and say, gee, God, Doc, I didn't know you believed that too. Because to a great degree, the public is ahead of us. We used to lead them. Now they lead us. We fell behind. We developed this enormous white coat syndrome. Instead of depending on God to do the healing, we started depending on everything we could find to do the healing. This has nothing to do with religion. Because religion is just an exercise that you use to try to understand God. And I don't care what your exercise is. This is reality. When I first came down, God bless this sign. When I first came down, I hated this sign. It made me uncomfortable. I hated looking at this thing. Because I wanted to be accepted. God, accept me. I have gone through school. I was in the medical corps in the army. Just accept me, please. I look at this sign and it says, there can never be an ethical life. Why never? And I have grown to love this sign. I have on my desk, and I've had on my desk for over 30 years, I have on my desk a brass duck. to never, ever allow me to forget that these people think I'm a quack. One of the greatest single compliments I ever got in my life was from the pediatrician that lived down on the bottom of the hill and up the street. And when my patients would go to him, the ones that still went to him, and they would talk about bringing their kids to me and whatever, he referred to me as that fool on the hill. I mean, it couldn't get any better than that. I had my turf. He knew what I stood for. There was no question. He knew where I was. Everybody in that town knew where I was. When my kids went to school and they got sick at school for some reason or another, the school nurse would call and say, Tim's not feeling well, could you come pick him up? But we didn't give him anything. I can remember when my kids first started school, and basically I grew up with a bunch of chiropractors who were all just about the same age, and all our kids were going to school at the same time in different parts of New Jersey. And we had one of the chiropractors made a statement that really made it very clear and understandable for me anyway. Because we were all worried, because our kids, you have to understand, when our kids grew up, every time that we would go, the television would have the commercials and they'd get, Bayer aspirin or whatever it had. We'd say, garbage, junk, never ever, bad stuff, terrible, right? Because kids do what? They watch TV, right? And on TV they're getting all this information continuously. So we'd monitor, and every time any kind of thing came on, we'd say, oh, terrible, poison, oh, God, terrible stuff. Only fools take that. You don't deal with that, right? And we said, well, when they go to school now, right, are they going to get harassed by the teacher because this is their position? And he made a very good statement. He said, nobody ever picks on the children of radicals. Right? Right? And if you're not radical in your community, maybe then you better reevaluate what you're doing. If you're not known as the fool on the hill, maybe you better reevaluate what you're doing. Maybe you better start finding out what people think about you. Because the last thing in the world that you ever want to be is that good little chiropractor. Ever. We create everything. I mean, each one of us, Ian Grassam said something once about 20 years ago that stuck with me and really got me on a path. You never know. You hear somebody say something, sticks in your head, and it leads you God knows where. And he said, supposing your eyes, instead of seeing what's out there, instead of it coming this way, in reality were projectors and was creating what was going on out there. And I love that. That is a great idea. Well, in reality now, we understand from physicists that's not too far from being true. That each of us create our own reality. Each of us does. And the thing that you have to understand is that everyone in the world creates their own reality. And the reality is created in something called the mind. BJ talked about this. I don't know if you ever saw the pictures in the Green Book. We had the innate mind, innate body, organic mind, organic body. If you haven't, you really ought to read it. But everything is created in the mind. And then what's created in the mind is eventually created in the body. What the mind sees and creates, the body, that's the way it works. It's above, down, inside, out. That's how we flow. Now, the brain is part of the body, and the body exists in space. The mind, on the other hand, does not exist in space because it doesn't have weight, shape, or size. Right? It rather exists in time. So you have the body and space and the mind and time. Now, in order for the mind to express itself, it's got to find something in space that it can express itself through. And the thing that it expresses itself through is that piece of gray matter you got inside of your skull. It expresses itself through the brain. Remember, the brain never had an original thought in its history. All it is a computer. It only repeats what you put into it. Right? The mind now is connected to the universal mind, knows everything that ever was, is, or ever will be, and if you can focus your antenna properly enough, you will be able to understand anything you want to understand, as long as you have enough gray matter, and as long as your wiring is sufficient to be able to allow you to express it through your brain. So the connection with universal intelligence, with universal mind, depends entirely on the nervous system. Now, as I've said this before, and I absolutely believe it, and I wish they would stop teaching neurology the way they teach neurology, because I think the way they teach neurology is absolutely wrong. It's taught the way it was determined to be taught in the 17th century, and it's archaic. Okay? We learn that you have a brain, you have a spinal cord, you have spinal nerve, you have a sympathetic nervous system, you have a parasympathetic nervous system, and then this is divided into even smaller parts, and it's all parts. And it's not parts. It's the whole thing. There is no separation between the nerve in the tip of your finger and your brain. This is merely an extension of your brain. Therefore, the entire nervous system is the brain. We have artificially divided it, which means that how well the nervous system is wired is how well you are able to experience reality. Since the mind needs the nervous system in order to create in here the concept of reality. Which is why an HIO guy can go up in the Atlas and go bang and have the patient change. And a full spine kind can go bang, bang, bang and have the patient change. And a Grostic man can go whatever he does and have the patient change. And Gonstead can do his thing and have the patient change. And Pettibon can do his thing and have the patient change. And all the techniques work. Because the whole nervous system is in reality a single unit. And it somehow responds to your hand. And every patient that you put your hands on changes because you change their concept of reality by rewiring their nervous system. Which is why Zygapus goes into the worst possible prison you can imagine in Panama. Puts his hands between the bars because they would not allow this man out. And adjusts him. And in an instant, the man changes. His face softens. And he reaches through the bars and he hugs Zygapus. And he says, thank you for remembering that I'm human. Every single patient, every single person you touch, you improve their concept of reality. Now, if you improve their concept of reality, you change them physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
You change them. Or rather, you allow them to change. You allow them to change. I want to tell you this. If I took you, put you on a number of airplanes, and dropped you in Serbia, there would be no more killing in a few weeks. You would change it. You understand the enormous responsibility and power that goes with that responsibility that you have? You stop thinking of yourself as a healthcare professional. Get that out of your mind. That is limiting. That puts a wall around you that confines you to a tiny, tiny bit of what you're able to do. I have seen seriously disturbed children after 3 adjustments be able to return to a normal classroom experience from an Atlas adjustment. Changed. I have seen people suffering from severe depression immediately as the table comes up have the sadness leave. Who else can do this? And it is fine to say, yes, we can do this. But only, if you do it. To understand you can do it is the booby prize. Faith without works is dead. It has no meaning. It is as if it never existed. Each of you has been planted into a community. Each of you has been put and made responsible for those folks, those people that surround you geographically. Tighten your belt, you stand up straight, and you profess. You profess. And you eliminate whatever it is that prevents them from coming into your office. If it's your hours, change them. If it's money, find a way around it. Whatever it is, remove the obstacle. The only reason you were made a chiropractor was to take care of the people. That's all. Not for your gratification, not for my gratification, to take care of the people. Now, having said that, comes to be decision time. See, when I got drafted, and those of you who were drafted know what I'm talking about, we stood in front of a line. The line was right on the floor. And we all lined up in single file. And an officer stood in front and said, raise your right hand, and we raised our right hand. And he said, do you swear obedience to the laws of the United States of America and to the United States Army and the rules and regulations that, or whatever, something to that effect? And we said, I do. And you put your hand up. You professed. And then we took the action step. He said, now, everyone, step over the line. And we stood over the line. And we were now part of that organization. In front of every chiropractor in this room, is that same line. And I stand up in front of you and I ask you to profess what chiropractic is. And for those of you who say, I do profess that, I say to you, step over the line. Step over the line. Leave the mediocrity. Leave the smoke and mirrors. Leave the purposelessness. And step over the line and become whatever it is that you are supposed to become. And if you do that, you will empty the hospitals, close the jails, and fill the churches. That's the only reason that message came 100 years ago. That's the only reason you are sitting here tonight. That's the only reason you have a practice. Because you're the only one who can do that. There is no one else. Profess. Step over the line. Become a soldier in the army of chiropractic. What I'm literally asking you to do is to give up your life. Not figuratively. I'm not asking you to lie down and die. What I'm asking you to do is to give up your life. The thing in you that makes you you. And give it to God. Give it to the Spirit. Give it to whatever it is that is your source and your strength. And then from that source and strength, be an instrument to give it to everyone you come in contact with. Again, you're the only one. There is no one else. The innate in me, blessed is the innate in you. Peace.